looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life challenges. Now, what a word is that in my little intro today, because we have a very special guest, but it's something I'm going to be very honest here, I'm not educated on, but I'm planning on doing that exactly today, and I've got the perfect man to do so, and he likes to challenge people, and usually this word is a little tricky one for me, but you know what, I look at it like an invitation, and that's what I felt when I came across our guest today. I felt like he really he's sending out the invitation for me to learn more, and I thought, you know what, why don't we share this with everybody and give him the opportunity to talk to his people as well. And so just before we start on today's show and topic, I'm going to do a little housekeeping. Today's show, Light on Living, is sponsored by a wonderful, amazing company, Stern Marketing Academy. And they really have this message that digital marketing can be very frustrating. And Daryl Stern makes it positive and simple. Become the influencer you were always meant to be and get Stern. Join the Stern Marketing Academy at sternmarketingacademy.com. And just a little bit about him to say, Daryl was the voice of Scooter Computer on ABC Schoolhouse Rock, and for 30 years has been teaching entrepreneurs how you are a gift to the world and the world needs your gifts. And with that being said, my guest is running for mayor, and what a gift he must actually be able to tap into, because that is a role that I'm sitting back going, oh my gosh, can you imagine? I don't know if I could be mayor. What if I was mayor? Like, how would I do that? What would be important to me? What would be my purpose? Like, do I believe enough people would follow me? And so all these questions were running through my mind, and I thought, well, you know what, let's find out. So today my guest, and who's a candidate and running for mayor of Oshawa, Ontario, here in Canada, and his name is Ken, or I guess he's going by Kenneth here, Kenneth Carruthers, and that's with a C-U-R-R-E-T-H-E-R-S. And you know what, he grew up in not the nicest of towns, of cities. He kind of grew up in a rough city and looked around and said, you know what, I know what I want, and I know what I want to do, and it was not running for mayor back then, let me tell you, but I'm going to let him share his story, that as he walked through the tough days of his lives and really sticking to his guns and what he wanted to do and what he wanted to create, and then moving to cities, different cities, and looking around and saying, I want to make a difference. I want to lead, and I know people will follow because these are good ideas. So I want to invite Ken. Hello, Ken Carruthers. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to interview you.
Hello, Lisa Perry. Oh my God, it's a Perry. Sorry.
It's okay. I got Jack Nicholson here on the line, sounds like.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Lisa. I have not slept at all. I'm going to sleep after today because my campaign is totally put together. All I have to do now is go around and shake hands and meet people.
And that's a huge part of it, actually. And that's the one you will need your rest for the most, I would think.
Yes.
How long is the campaign?
Well, it's not that long, actually. The election is on the 22nd of October, and hopefully we can get more than 26% of Oshawa out to vote. It's interesting that the stats that I have, I hope they're correct, is that 64% of Oshawa voted federally and provincially, but only 26% voted municipally. That tells me that people are more concerned about changing the province and the country rather than where they have their feet planted, their own city. And that's very disturbing to me.
That is actually, I would never have known that either. And I'm going to muffle my voice when I say I'm one of those people. But you're right. So do you think that people are just watching, let's say, the news, the national news, and they're thinking that that's where their voice is more heard, and they don't realize that the municipal elections matter?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I've seen it myself. I'm guilty of it. You know, you're voting for trustees. You're voting for everything. And when it's municipal, and there's a lot of people you're voting for. So, you know, some people may want a particular counselor that they believe in, but when it comes to everybody else, they don't really do their research. So they could just elect somebody based on, oh, that's a really cool name. I'm going to check that box.
Right. You just pick.
So I think people have to get involved in their city, where they live, where their feet are planted, and, you know, really take charge. If you want, you know, everybody's complaining about taxes in Oshawa. It's been going on forever. I don't see any solutions to it. City Hall hasn't been able to do anything. City Hall in Oshawa here, some great men, John Henry, John Gray. I like both of these gentlemen, and they were former mayors. Well, John Henry is mayor. He's actually running for head of Durham, and I hope he gets it because I think he's a great guy. But to be honest with you, their hands are tied with the council that's constantly bickering and fighting. And in this town, a lot of people don't know that there's some families that actually kind of run the town downtown. And Dan Carter, who's running, I have a lot of respect for him. He's running for mayor. He was on the BIA for the city, and he's also a council member. I have a lot of respect for Dan. But I haven't seen any change. I've been here for 10 years, downtown on a street that's pretty rough. I personally, with my own hands, tried to clean it up, and along with other people, companies like Peacock Lumber, building community gardens and deluxe paint, supporting it, and just getting people involved in where we live, you know.
You know, you said two huge things right there, and I'm going to touch on both topics. And they're going to be two big questions each. One of them is you talked about the bickering. And to me, that, I mean, I think that's one reason why I even shy away from, I'm so adverse to fighting and bickering and all that kind of stuff. So when I think of bickering, if I was going to put it in my nice Lisa language, I would call it competition. And when I'm thinking about it, you're all in competition for change. And how do you handle the competition? I mean, that's like such a fright or flight situation to be in all the time. Or do you just have like a personality for it? Like, how does one get through that?
I honestly respect anybody who puts their name into this because, you know, it means you're standing up for what you believe in, and we're allowed to have differences of opinion. That's life.
Yes, we are.
But what I wanted to say is, I know this for a fact that, you know, you have NDP, you have Tory, and you have Liberals. And those colors come into City Hall municipal politics. They should be checked at the door, and we should work together. Those three parties are for provincial and federal politics, not municipal politics. It's got to stay out of it. And no more backdoor deals with the Liberal, you know, all the different ones.
So what do you do personally then to, like, you just have good, like, your morals just come into play here and your personality?
Yeah, I just honestly, Lisa, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, but I'm not going off half-cocked about this. I think I can get people to work together. I used to watch MacGyver. It was a great show.
Yeah, great show.
When I taught for 10 years, I taught adults, over 800 students. I wrote curriculum. A lot of teachers teach out of a book, and if they're sick, somebody comes in and opens the book. I actually wrote curriculum for universities and colleges and the TDSB with an innovative program that I basically forefronted and started.
That's amazing that you're able to do that and write that. I'm going to back up a little. Oh, sorry. Before I back up, I was going to say about planting your feet. You said, and I love that you said that. You actually gave me a little positive motivation there. That, you know, find out where your feet are planted, where you live, your community. But you actually went and you thank some companies already, and we can rethink them again. But you actually really literally helped plant people's feet, and you created community gardens. And I think that's the most incredible thing. I mean, I'm a nutritionist, so, you know, I love anything to do with food. I think it's the greatest gift on the planet besides kitty cats. But so
that's what I love. Multicultural Canada, all of its different food. When I taught for 10 years, my students were in Scarborough, which is multicultural Canada. And they were all adults, and some of them, Mommy and Daddy was still making lunch. So I would tell them, could you get Mommy and Daddy to bring me, like, bring one in for me, you know?
I know the flavors. So is that what it is? Is the, are the gardens that you have? Tell us a little bit about the gardens, because I've actually heard about it.
I can't take credit for the gardens. That's a lady who I love and admire a lot, and it's Carol from We Grow Food. That's what it is.
Hi, Carol.
Carol goes around the city and basically tries to help and feed people, and, you know, she's just an awesome person.
Was she the table?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah, I love her. I love her to death. But what she tries to do is go around the city, establish these gardens, and get the people in the neighborhood to work on it. Now, it is a little bit disappointing because where I live on Albert, the city gave us basically 250 by 150 foot lots.
Okay.
My daughter Kaylee actually named both of the patches. Mm-hmm. One's the berry patch and one's the pepper patch. And
so you know that you named that after me then. Thank you so much as being Lisa Berry. So I appreciate that.
But honestly, if it wasn't for Glenn Peacock, he gave me around $5,000 worth of wood, roughly, if you had to buy it. And he donated that to us to build these gardens. And I built them in my driveway and carried them down the street. And we have what they call Weeding Wednesday. So people can come out at 7. And this is all Carol's baby.
You mean in the morning, don't you?
But what's sad is, though, you know, our lives are so busy, right? So it's hard. So even, you know, there's a lovely woman, Sandra Thomas, who backs onto one of the gardens, her and her husband, Dave. Like, they're just amazing people, and they try and help. But basically, the concept of the gardens is, because some people won't know what we're talking about, is that we do fundraising. We also get things donated, like Kingsway and Oshawa, they donate stuff. So the concept is that you can come by and you pick enough for one meal. And it's been working very well. So if you're a student and you want a fresh salad, you walk by the garden and you pick it. And if you're a senior, you walk by. A lot of people, when you see a community garden, they think that, oh, it's somebody's, like, so many people when I was working, I would come up and go, oh, well, are you selling this or whatever? No, Carol's giving it away, right?
You know, I didn't actually know that. I thought people owned, like, different a portion of it. You know, like, everybody chipped in, let's say, $50 for the season. I didn't even know. And
Like, there are all over the place. Ottawa, there are community gardens and have very different types. But Carol's is one that, you know, it's just there for anybody, and we all work at it. We have yard sales to raise money for it. We have a donation box at Albert and John Street. We cleaned up that whole area. Deluxe Paint gave me $500 worth of paint so that we could paint the raised beds, and we had graffiti artists come, and they did graffiti on the raised beds, so they look really cool. And then there was an iron workers union hall that was looking a little ragged, and we basically painted that. Mary Fowler, myself, Johnny McDonald, who were all friends of mine, and another friend, Heron Kane. Basically, we all got together, and we painted it one day with rollers, and we had fun doing it. And Rick Kerr was there as well. Sorry, Rick, I almost forgot you. Rick Kerr is one of our counselors.
So I
have to cut you off because I didn't mention Doug Saunders' name, and there's so many guys. But what really needs to happen, we need to not have NDP, Tory, Liberal in municipal politics. We need to be there for the people, save that for provincial and federal politics. That's what we need to do. Put the people first.
I love that you said that they have many colors. They each have a color to leave them at the door. I thought that was a really great visual, especially seeing as you're talking about paint and making the community beautiful around you. And you know what? I love that you're talking about. I'm still back to that planting your feet there, because, you know, as think about you in your own body, or you in your own home, and or all the listeners listening right now, that's where we have to start. You're so correct. It's like, we don't start trying to fix the circle of friends. We actually back it up. What does my home look like? What's my environment look like? What are my thoughts in my mind look like? And so I was going to ask you now, we still have a good chunk. We're 2 minutes before commercial, but I can start the story with you now. For years, you actually have and have still have a different entire career and profession. And I actually think now getting to know you more, it's going even more hand in hand. Can you just share, because you're in your, I don't want to say it's my construction. What am I missing my word? My goodness. What is it that you do, your career, your actual
Yes, no, when I was 18, when I was 18, I started my apprenticeship at Darlington. That's when I first came to Oshawa, and I lived on a street called Vancouver Crescent with three brothers. And basically, I started my apprenticeship at Darlington. I've lived in various houses all over, because that's what I do. And while I worked other places, I would buy houses and fix them up. And I love Oshawa. I've been in Oshawa longer than anywhere. I grew up in Scarborough, and I don't want to live in Scarborough. Oshawa is a better place. We have so many good people. We do have a lot of people that suffer from addictions, and we seem to have a bad rap on that. But you know what? I've been to Ottawa. Ottawa is surrounded by four hostels. You step outside of those hostels at 2 o'clock in the morning, you might come across somebody who's an addict who will do anything to get their drug of choice. And unfortunately, that's the way with addicts. And I think Durham Region has kind of dropped the ball on what they're doing. I think we need to do more. We've had a couple of schools knocked down in Oshawa.
We're going to stop there, because we've got 30 seconds before commercial. But and in closing, so people, I want people to tune back in after these this break. And there it is. So we're going to find out more, just exactly what we can do in our community to raise the awareness.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Lisa Berry, your host. And we have our guest, Ken Carruthers, here, who's running for mayor. And I just, you know, over the commercial break, I couldn't stop thinking about how, see, Ken, we have, our listeners are global. And though we're here in our, you know, in Canada and Ontario, and then you get smaller and smaller and smaller, it reminds me of when you watch, like, Whoville, like, or you watch the North Pole, like a cartoon movie, and you're, and you get right into the politics of there, because it does, it does inspire, it does influence, and it does encourage people of any community to really look within and find out, okay, what's going on in my world right here, right now. And so that's what I, that's why I'm so happy to have you as a guest, because you're inspiring to everybody. We all have a story. And I want to jump back into that. And I have to tell you, I was driving with a friend, I don't know, let's say a couple months ago, and went to visit my old grade school, like little school, and drove up to it and went, oh my gosh, it's all boarded up and shut down and this and that. And I thought, well, and then there's another one. And can you tell, well, okay, so what's going on with the schools? Because that was shocking to me.
Well, schools, like, I worked for the school board. I did. I don't work there anymore. But I did work for the third largest school board, I believe, in North America, the Toronto District School Board. I no longer work there. But it's a regentrification. So you have areas where, you know, the kids grow up and then there's not that many kids. And then there's trustees involved and school boards involved. And people don't want to close schools because it's an inconvenience to the parents. So, you know, they got to keep them open even when they're running at 1/5 capacity. So it's very hard. And this is all school boards as far as I know, you know, but I can talk about Toronto because that's the one I work for. So there's a lot of pressure from the public, and trustees are voted in, right? So they sometimes will do things to get a vote. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. So what I was saying about a school, I don't know, Lisa, if you've ever been to Wasaga Beach, and I know some people. Well, when I went to Wasaga Beach as a kid, I rented a little cabin there. It had a room. It had a bed, and it had a dresser. And honestly, you couldn't invite a friend over to sleep on the floor because there wasn't room. But it had a lock and a key, and it was yours.
Right.
So being a carpenter, if you gave me a school, I could build a whole bunch of units in that school, and we could help the homeless people ourselves as a city and not let Durham Region do it. I mean, let them continue to do what they're doing, and we do something as a city. And say, let's just say it was on Harmony Road, for example, it's a street in Oshawa, for those who don't know what that is.
Big one.
But let's say there was a school there. That would then become their address, and they would have a unit number. And I talk to people because I walk through Oshawa at night all the time and talk to people, homeless people, everybody. And that's what I've done my whole life. I talk too much, and I should have been a politician a long time ago. But anyway, long story short is then these people can then have access to, I'm tired, Lisa.
No, you're doing fabulous.
No, but they could have access to addictions counseling, job building, resume building, and they'd have an address, so they wouldn't have to go cash their checks at one of these places that I don't want to name, because they're not with one of the big five banks. We could have, I'm not saying I support those banks either, because I don't, but what I'm saying is you can give them back their life. And I think we got to stop judging people, because you see somebody walking down the street, if they look like they're intoxicated, do you know their story? Like, did they just break up? Did one of the spouses take away children that they can't have access to? Did one of them have a child that died? There's so many reasons. I think we got to stop judging each other and just try and help each other.
You know, Ken, that's a great opportunity. I just want to say this. I learned something maybe, I don't know, a couple years ago, and it really made an impact on me, is that a lot of people who have those
pains and hurts and traumas and lostness in their lives. They just want to feel better, and so they reach for different things. I mean, some of us reach for shopping, some of us reach for alcohol, some reach for everything. So I love what you said there, and I just want to highlight that too. Often when every time I do come upon somebody who is in that state or whatever, it could be anything, I really do offer that compassion and open-heartedness, not to judge in that harsh way, like they're gross, bad, dirty, I don't know, whatever those scary, whatever those words are, because we don't know, and they're just trying to feel better. But if I love your solution, one of them right there, because if that's a great idea, actually, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, let's turn the schools into lodging and shelter.
Yeah, why not? And the city could own it and make money off it, because they're going to have checks. We can charge them, and it would be paid off like a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
Over time, I would get paid off. And each one of those people would probably get a different amount based on their situation. And you'd run it like a co-op, but a city-owned co-op. I'd like to see more city-owned co-ops. I want to see city-owned everything. And I challenge people to come up with new revenue sources. At one time, Ed Broadbent ran this town. And there was 25,000 people, roughly, that worked at GM. And it was solid. And we had a harbor where there was tons of people working. We need to get it all back. And we need to create new revenue. So I challenge everybody in the city to come up with new revenue sources. I believe in like the Dragon Den style thing.
Yes, share that concept, because that's a really neat one I want people to hear about.
Okay, so a lot of people in Canada are familiar with the Dragon Den and Kevin O'Leary. And, you know, Arlene, who's nicer, I think. Sorry, Kevin. But basically, Kevin wants to take your whole company, and, you know, rightly so. He's a capitalist, I guess. But seriously, no, let's say, for example, you wanted to build a radio station and you needed some seed money. And I said to you, you know what, Lisa? And it wouldn't be the mayor and it wouldn't be the council that are deciding on this. We would have our people at City Hall that are highly educated, that work for the city already, to come up and assess a business plan. And so let's say your business happens and we take 10% of it, let's say. These are suggestions. People don't get it. Like, a mayor has one vote. Councillors have one vote. But we have to work together to make it better. So if your company happened to do $3 million in 1 year, how much money did the city make? We need other revenue. And this is just a suggestion. And I challenge the whole city to come up with others. I want to build a music studio that the city owns and operates. Because we have so much musical talent in this town that's hidden. I've been going around videotaping it. If we can't make money off a music studio in this town and we undercut everywhere, so you would get somebody in Kingston who's playing in the garage with a band that want to cut an album or, you know, then they would come to Oshawa because we would own it and operate it. I think we should do the same with the movie business.
Well, I have to vote right now for a very close friend of mine who runs the musical chair show with me, and he has a studio. So if anybody is looking for that, I have to tell you, I have to plug in Eric Lambier's name here right now. Shameless networking here.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, come up with an idea to make revenue. We don't have any other than people's house taxes. So let's come up with revenue.
I like that idea. Okay. That makes more sense to me now. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But, you know, if you do that across the board, in the way that business works, there's lots of companies that own lots of companies. If you got 10 companies, let's say, and three of them tank, those are write-offs, but you got 7 positive ones, you're making money. Mm-hmm. You can even write off the other ones, I think. I don't know. I'm only a humble carpenter.
No, thank you. So, and speak, I'm glad you actually just went to there for a second. You've mentioned a couple of times, you know, you should have gone to politics earlier. What in your character, what is it about you that gives you this passion and this drive to really care? Why do you care if somebody else doesn't?
Honestly, I think it's in my genes. My daddy, Johnny Carruthers, has a union hall named after him, and he brought in the first EPSCoR agreement. EPSCoR was the hydro agreement so that we could build nuclear plants in this country. So what it is, if you have multi-trades, like plumbers, electricians, and all the various trades, carpenters as well, and they all have different bargaining times, everybody would be on strike at different times, and you wouldn't get anything built. So my dad brought in what they call Epsker. And he's got a union hall named after him in Toronto, the Johnny Crothers Hall. My uncle Harry was the business agent for the millwrights. They're both passed. You know, the one thing about my dad, he died at 52, and probably because of his passion. But I don't plan on doing that because I take yoga and I'm into mindfulness now, and there's not a lot that gets me excited. Because I've talked to experts in psychiatry and stuff like that, and also people at Pinewood, counselors and stuff like that, 4% of what the human beings worry about is worth worrying about. The rest is drama that we create ourselves or someone else creates. So we really just got to be more mindful. And, you know, there's a prayer, and you don't have to be religious. God grant me the serenity, and I can't say it right now because I'm too tired. But basically what it's saying in the prayer is that you can change what you can change, and what you can't change, just let it go. Just let it go. You know,
and that's what you can. Well, I love that you're saying that, and then we'll have to make sure that whatever places everybody built, yes, they do have a location where they can practice their mindfulness and their yoga and all those kind of things, because taking care of your body, and I'm really sorry to hear that your dad passed so young, and yes, I'm glad that you're planning on sticking around quite a bit longer.
I think the passion's in the blood, really, because I've always talked to people. I've run some pretty big jobs, and I'm good at getting people to work together, and I've done that my whole life. And I believe you get more bees with honey. As an employer, you don't have to be yelling at your employees. You can talk to them the way that you would like to be, you know, with respect as a human. And you'll find that they'll do twice as much work for you. That's for sure.
That is, yeah. Here's my big question. When you're looking at anything, you're walking around Oshawa, you mentioned that you're videotaping different music things, you're talking to people. What makes you, if something inside you decide that that's the thing worth cleaning up and putting on your list of, like, why vote for me kind of thing? Like, what makes it worth it for you to clean
up? Well, you know, I've just seen all the conflict. I've been living in Oshawa a long time, and municipal politics, there's backdoor deals with, you know, each of the parties, whatever, and there shouldn't be any of that. We should just all work together and get stuff done. And I think if I was mayor and we were at council and we were working on something that we really needed to get done, I would tell the other councillors, we were all elected to do this job. Maybe we're not going home for dinner until we sort this out. And that's kind of how I would run it. And I would hope that the counselors would feel the same way.
See, now you're messing around with food and hunger and appetite. I'd want to get it done too.
Well, yeah, if you starve them to death, then they're going to want to get it done, aren't they?
They use those tactics in enforced confessions, you know.
I'm joking. And that's what I've learned in life is, without humor, and my humor, I grew up with Monty Python, my humor is what saved my life. Like, if you laugh, you release all these beautiful things in your body, and it's just great. And when you have that feeling of laughter, when you have a belly laugh and you can't stop laughing, that's the way I want to feel all the time, really.
Well, what you're describing right now certainly is a different vision. I think a lot of people think about politics, and I love what you're saying because it's more inviting to think about. Like, if me thinking, oh, wow, we're going to get together and I can have a good old laugh and talk about, it certainly makes you, invites people and then challenges them, as you say. Oh, I want to, that's what I was going to say. So that question about what makes something worth cleaning up to you, do you have a criteria, so to speak? Like, does it have to hit rock bottom before you think it's worth cleaning up, or do you kind of notice things right away, or do you notice that you want something, or the people are asking, like, what puts something on your list of, okay, I'm going to do that? This is what
I truly believe with technology today, let's just say I was a counselor of a ward, pick a number like 4, and the counselor for ward 4 comes to City Hall and says, I want to do this. I think we should do this.
Yeah.
I should be able to say to that counselor, show me the proof that this is what your people want, because you should be able to reach out. So if somebody calls me and says, I've been trying to get a hold of so-and-so counselor, you know, and they're not returning my calls, I would simply take all their information, and as mayor, I would give it to the counselor and say, deal with this. And then my job's done, and I can go cut ribbons, eat cake, and make money for the city. Right? Because my job isn't to run Ward 4. My job is to run the city, basically, and make it run like a machine. And if we have a problem, we sit down like MacGyver and we figure out how to fix it.
Ah, and do people like contact you with problems? Like, do they, like, I mean, you know, oh, they don't shovel the snow.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when it comes, so what I did, sorry, I just moved my car and ran into something. No, it's just a parking block. Nobody got hurt. Don't worry.
Well, this show is in Moncton, everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm in a parking lot and I just had to move to let a car out. So anyway, sorry. What was your question again? I'm tired.
That was fun. It's just about do people write to you about questions and like?
Oh yeah. So what I did was if I became mayor, the first thing I would do is sit down with all the city employees. They've been through so many mayors, so many council members. Some of them have been there for 30 years, and I'd ask them what we could do to fix the city because I'm sure they probably know. And then I'd reach out to the citizens. But what I have been doing is something I've never really done since I was a kid is I started taking public transit in Oshawa. And at every bus stop, I talk to people and I say, hey, what's your major complaint? So they're telling me it's wait times and not enough buses. So I guess we have to address that somehow.
That is so cool. That's like you're doing a bus tour. Ha ha.
Road trip.
That's so fun. Well, we've got a little less than a minute before we hit the final commercial, but I want to take this time just to recap quickly and then invite everybody back because we still have another 20 minutes to go. I'm learning so much, actually. I think it's kind of fun. I'm envisioning this campaign as kind of fun now, but and tired because I can feel it from you. But everybody, if you're just listening right now, this is not just about one town or one city or one everything. This really is the starting point. It's where we start when we want to make changes and see changes and be heard. And I think it takes, you got to keep talking to the right person as Ken just shared with us. If he might hear a message for another part of the community, but he will deliver it. So you know what? Don't keep your voice quiet. Don't forget that there are people out there wanting to hear because they do want a better place like you. So when we come back after the commercials, we're going to hear a little bit more about that. And I'm just kicking myself laughing right now over bus tour. So in just a few moments, we'll be back with Ken Carruthers.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back, everybody, to Light on Living. Your host, Lisa Berry. And I just have a quick note to say. I want to remind everybody that the show is being sponsored right now by the Stern Marketing Academy. And basically, you know what? Digital marketing can be frustrating, but it's time to make it simple. Become the influencer you are always meant to be and get Stern. So join the Stern Marketing Academy, sternmarketingacademy.com. Now, we got Ken Carruthers here. He's running for mayor of Oshawa. And I'm loving what you said about you go and talk to these people and you're finding out what people are saying. I would love to give you a scenario and ask you if you could just walk me through, literally how this would help.
Lisa, sorry, yeah. I know it's your show, but I thought about something that you said. And it's kind of important to say this. I was that person that was caught up in all that drama and of the world and, other people's drama, and it pretty much almost killed me. And I had a best friend once a long time ago who told me to kind of grow a set of you-know-what and stand up for what I believe in. And she told me I had too much drama in my life. And you know what? I have to give her credit. She was right. And that's part of it, too. And I just wanted to say that.
Well, drama can, thank you for acknowledging and thanking your friend. And drama can be very debilitating. And thank you for growing a pair of heart ventricles, because the left and right are very important.
That's what I was talking about. I'm glad you knew what I was talking about, Lisa.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, I have a challenge for you, Lisa, too. You can't just love cats. You have to love dogs. Okay.
I love them all.
I'm joking.
I know. Speaking of what I do love. Okay, so now this may sound silly, but honestly, it really. I'm excited to share the story. I love Christmas, and I love the city's Christmas tree lighting. I had gone every year pretty much of my entire life, and then something changed at the Christmas tree lightings, and I was so disappointing. So then I thought I'll go back to the next year. And I used to bring a lot of people. Now, this is me being really involved in my community and my town and really being a part and rallying and bringing other people in. And it's such a small thing. And people might be out there thinking, I'm not going to complain about that. It's so small. But let me tell you, this was about, they started really chintzing out on the Christmas tree lights. And so you have this big countdown, right? 10, 9, 8. And all of a sudden they lit up and I went, they missed some. Do they have a shortage? What's going on? And then it didn't have the impact. And then I felt a little bit embarrassed because, I invited friends from Toronto and everything. And then, I was like, well, maybe they're having a bad year. And then next day I was like, come on, now they're picking bad colors. Those aren't Christmas colors, purple. And so eventually, I stopped going.
If I'm elected mayor, I'll let you pick the colors.
How's that? So my question is, first of all, I had that issue and I was like, I'm going to write into the city. Mind you, I didn't have a clue who to write into. But the thing is, I stopped going. So I stopped, doing the little music in the library after, which I love because it's Christmas jazz, my favorite. And then I stopped inviting people and I stopped introducing. So that one little thing that I didn't go and talk to the right people about actually affected a lot of, let's call it business. I could have gone to, who knows, Timmy's after, Starbucks, whatever. And then they would have business. But first of all, I just want to highlight that point that we all have these concerns or things that really matter to us that if we don't talk about them really do have an impact. And do you think, and I'm just guessing right now, is it because really who donates? Does somebody donate the city lights? Do the taxpayers' money pay for them? What could have gone down the chain that affected my personal experience at Christmas? And how can I change it or make it better?
You're not the only person who's mentioned that to me. And I honestly, I'll be honest with you, Lisa, if I don't have the answer, I can't give it to you. I don't know the answer, but I do have something similar. Oshawa used to have what they call and I'm tired again. So, but I believe it's Oshawa and Bloom. So if you have your house done up really nice, and then you could get like an award thing, and I'm pretty sure they stopped that because my
low participation.
Well, we actually won at our house. So what that does is that motivates people to kind of keep their house nice. So why we would stop that, I don't know. And it's a snowball effect on Albert Street. When my former wife and I, she's still my wife, we're separated. And so everybody can know that now, too. Oh, well.
Oh, announcement.
It's amicable. We're friends. We're friends. It's good. It's all good. When we moved to Albert Street, people wouldn't even put stuff out on the porch because it would be stolen.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen anymore. Our families come in, it's regentrification is the word. So I know at one time in Toronto, the beaches used to be a cesspool of iniquity. People didn't want to live in the beaches. And it's the same, obviously, with Cabbage Town. I don't see why. And a couple of my friends, Mayor John and Mayor Henry, both used my tagline because I said it to them. This could be Cabbage Town. So I'm pretty sure I was the first one to say that, but I don't know. But like I said, I am friends with John Gray. I am friends with John Henry, and I would like him to put a sign on my front lawn. He hasn't done it yet.
Well, there's an invitation right there.
who better to be in charge of Durham Region than the former mayor of Oshawa, who is my friend? And you know what I mean? So that's what we need. I voted for every party because I vote for the person. People think I'm nuts, but I need to know the person to vote for them. I can't just vote for a color, you know? And that's what people choose to do, right? So, but that's their choice. You're allowed to do what you want. For me personally, I vote for the person. I don't care about the color of the party.
Well, you guys have the influence, right? So, so if you were to win, I have to ask this question because what would this interview be without me asking that? if you were to win, what are your focal points? Rebuilding, replanting, cleaning up, like your challenges.
No, I want to clean up the whole city, not just downtown. And I don't want the people in the north end to think that I'm not caring about them because I live in. So right now we have north and south Oshawa. Some people call the north end Poshawa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want there to be any north and south. I want there to be Oshawa. That's it, a proud city. And I challenge all the businesses that are downtown that are doing well now to help other businesses open up. And this, you know, I know about building permits. I used to teach the Ontario Building Code to my students. When you open a business, sometimes you're jumping through hoops with the city and the building department and everything else. No, this has to stop. We need to help people. And if there's something they need, say the door doesn't swing the right way or whatever, we give them 90 days of operation to get some money together to fix the problem. We don't say you can't open. How is that good? It's not good at all. We need somebody to guide people through the whole process of opening a business, and I would make sure we did that.
I noticed on your Facebook you had a lot of, like, the pictures throughout. You had a lot of pictures of for lease, for rent, empty disc. What was that about? There's a lot.
That was me one day with my camera walking through downtown, and I did that in about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and I just took pictures. I took pictures of every vacant building, and I took pictures of graffiti because that just bothers me. It really bothers. Graffiti bothers me.
Not the nice graffiti, the yucky graffiti.
Yeah, no, if it's graffiti art, that's different, and we have a place to put that, but not to spray somebody's building just because we want to tag it with a gang or something. And half of these kids that belong to the gangs don't even know anything about gangs, really.
Right. Coming from a Scarborough fella, yes, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm an old Scarborough boy, so I know about gangs, yeah.
Yeah. I don't actually even think we have. Do we even have gangs around? I don't feel like we do it here, but I mean, I kind of live in my wonderful.
Well, see, I can tell you one thing I know for sure about Scarborough. Scarborough is multicultural Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's the epitome of multicultural Canada.
Sure.
And unfortunately, a lot of the people that come to this country are not the poor of their countries. If it's a poor country, it's usually the rich, and a lot of it's tied to the crimes within those countries. So in Scarborough, you pretty much have every mafia on the planet from around the world, and they're fighting over a little piece of turf called Scarborough. But we don't have that in Oshawa, and I'm pretty happy about that.
You know what's funny is I grew up in Oshawa, and I actually moved to Scarborough. I moved to Toronto, and I moved to Mississauga, and I actually lived in Scarborough for many years. And I think also too, it's how we carry ourselves, because I love Scarborough, and I used to feel like, oh, I feel like I'm traveling the world, you know, and I go and I eat this food and that food and talk to this culture and that culture. And so in my way, it's also, I hope that everybody else can look at their ways. Don't be afraid to talk to, like, I mean, you know, don't put yourself in unsafe situations, but don't think that we're so different that we can't look at it with pleasantries. I mean, I really enjoyed getting gas even at the gas stations, because there'd be so many different cultures, different languages I could hear. And I really did I had to pretend. I was like, oh, I'm traveling, I'm in another country.
Yeah, I want you to know I'm not knocking Scarborough, because there are lots of areas. There's pockets of niceness everywhere. Everywhere. Oshawa gets such a bad rap because we're a blue-collar town. Well, you know what? We've become a bedroom town for Toronto, and we have to stop that. We have to become the city of Oshawa, where people from Toronto want to come here, is what we want to do. And I think we can do it. I think it's obtainable. We have the highest growth rate of any city for the next 5 years, I think, in North
America.
Right.
Wow, look at that.
Either that or I just made up that stuff, but I'm pretty sure that I think it's right. I mean, you can call John Henry. He would know. Why don't we get John Henry on this show? Yeah, I don't know.
When I'm diving into politics, I do, right?
Yeah, well, you should. But you know what you should do? You should job shadow me for a day while I'm campaigning, and then you'll see what politics is all about.
Actually, you know what? That's an interesting thing. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm gonna bring my cat. I had to wrap my head around that one for just a second.
Yeah, do you have your cat on a leash? You could bring it.
You know what, they used to be on leashes, and you know what, that's how safe I do feel, because I have Bengals. They're just gorgeous little pieces, creatures of this planet, and I used to always walk on a leash, and then I used to have this fear and stuff. But you know what, they're just, you know what, people can be good, and I think we have to have faith in people, and when we hold that vibration, I do strongly believe in that, and I love that you're supporting and you're saying to everybody, like, things can be easy, and we got to help people and support them. And we still have just about three more minutes here, and I want to ask you in those final 3 minutes, first of all, what the heck do we do from here? Does somebody go to your page and check you out, just to see what you're doing, learn more about you? How can they come talk to you?
Yeah, you can go to my Facebook pages. There's two. But also, I basically have my truck being wrapped today, and I have a trailer that I'll be pulling around Oshawa. And basically, on the trailer, it has my whole platform. And that's why I've been stuck in a couple of hotel rooms trying to hammer this out, because you know yourself, Lisa, probably with what you do, you'll have friends and family that tell you how to do what you're doing, right? And they do it because they love you. But to get your head straight, you just got to get away. So that's what I've been doing. I haven't been sleeping much, but now everything's together. I was going to do a web page, and I don't know that I'm even going to do it. I don't think I need it to win, to be honest with you.
I love that you get out there. I love that you're doing this and you're creating brand visually.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. I'm putting one election sign up in front of my house. You want to see it, you come by and look at it. I'm not putting literature in mailboxes because we already have a recycle problem in this city. Mm-hmm. So I will personally be handing out my platform in a business card style and offering you, if you would like one, to take one. If you don't want one, I'll keep it. Business cards cost money, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, so that's what I'll be doing. And I have some associates that will probably be handing out cards on my behalf. And, you know, you can call me, too. My phone number, 905-439, and it's 4-O-R-R, like Bobby Orr, because that's my mother's maiden name, Orr. I would love to challenge Bobby Orr to, sit down and talk to me what he thinks about Oshawa. Mr. Orr, Bobby, actually did a lot for this city when he wore number 2 and played for the Jennies.
Yeah, he was just there at the center, the Rogers Center, a couple years ago.
Well, if you can hook me up to talk to him, I would love that.
Oh, yeah, I might have connections. All right.
I don't know.
Well, I just think this is a wonderful. You've actually, I have learned a lot in this, as we say goodbye to you, which is, it's the hours literally flown by. And I feel like, I mean, it's a bit personal for me because I do live here and I get to see it. But I feel like all the listeners around the world literally can go, maybe there is something I can do. Maybe there is somebody who will listen to me. And so I want to thank you so much, Ken. It's Ken Carruthers, and it's C-U-R-R, two R's, Carruthers.
It's C-A-R-R-U-T-H-E-R-S, Carruthers. Yes, it's like the golf course, and I'm not related to them. I wish I was. I could play free golf.
Yeah. And you know what? That's even fun, too, just to play golf. So I want to say a big thank you for spending your time with us here today and sharing with me and educating and really giving a whole new outlook. And I feel so pumped, like I want to go into, like, to talk to people like what you do. So I might take you up on that shadowy thing. I think it's interesting. And thank you for your time today. And you get some sleep.
Could I say one last thing?
Could say it in 20 seconds, yes.
I want to congratulate everybody that's running for trustee, mayor, council members, because you had the stones to get up and do it and not just sit back and complain about it. And that's basically what I'm doing.
Oh, well, that was a beautiful thank you. Well, thank you to everybody who's participating. So, again, we'll talk to you guys. We'll see you guys and be on the show next Monday. And thank you, Ken, and everybody's here. And we will just everybody do what you can. Get out there. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Bye, Ken.
Bye.